it's Cap and Haw.
Well, it's amazing. I don't know. You get older, it gets a little more. You know how hard it is. You think about it a lot more, and it's an unbelievable opportunity to come here in Chicago.
It's early. I mean, it's just everything, all the emotion, the run we've been through, and the reaction, the support, the emotion with the people you love around, and it's very special. I mean, I'm running out of words, but I think the main thing is try to enjoy every moment because it goes by quick.
Brad Richards and Antoine Vermette, one now a Red Wing, one back with the Arizona/Las Vegas Coyotes. Cabin Hawk continues on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
So Antoine Vermette was on loan from the Coyotes, basically. He came to the Blackhawks at the trade deadline. Oh, gotten some, you know, took him a while to get adjusted. Got in Q's doghouse for a brief period of time. Was a healthy scratch, and then he went and had 3-game winning goals that helped him win the Stanley Cup. Celebrated during the parade.
Still remember the one where he took the shot. It was stopped, I think, by Freddie Anderson.
Came back.
Pulled it to the side,
yep,
and then banged it off the inner corner of the post.
Game
the
winner.
Far out corner.
Good guy to have in the
flew
lock
out,
in the dressing room. Good guy to have around. But isn't that odd, Cap? It's a nature of professional sports. He leaves the Coyotes, goes, wins the cup, goes back
right
to the Coyotes, gets a raise, some more financial stability, and he's back in an organization that he played at for a long time. Probably more comfortable there. Would have liked to have stayed, perhaps, but they weren't going to pay him $3.75 million a year.
No.
Brad Richards, same sort of story. Kind of the, you know, Q gets on the phone last summer, says, come win a cup. We'll do it here. Takes less money to come to Chicago, wins a cup, off, cashes in. Red Wings are going to pay him $3 million to be, what, second, third line center? Don't know. But he's going to go to the dreaded Red Wings and take the experience from here and the memories from here, and he'll have them forever. Good for them. Meanwhile, the Blackhawks try to retool by spending a lot of time in Russia. The Red Army coming into the United Center.
That's it. How about Viktor Tikhonov? You know who his grandfather is?
Yes, his grandfather is the coach of the team that was beaten by the U.S. hockey team.
In the 80 Olympics.
In 1980.
Miracle on Ice.
And I think that, was it Mark Lazarus that tweeted out that Tikhonov, the player, has never seen the movie Miracle?
Really?
I think that was the tidbit.
So, walk up to him and just go, he doesn't know what to do. Playing with his eyebrows.
Well, you know, the talent, though, it all looks very good on paper, doesn't it? The talent that the Blackhawks are replacing their guys with.
It's good. It's going to take some effort to get it all to mesh.
As you start to hear more about this trade with the Blue Jackets, Anisimov is a guy that obviously fits in. He's 6'4", 198. They gave him a contract extension. Did you realize his history with injuries? There was a very well-done, insightful story on SB Nation. It's a Blue Jackets SB Nation site, and it goes into extreme detail about the trade. I mean, excruciating detail. But Anisimov has a concussion history, and he's a guy that hasn't been terribly durable, which is the opposite of what Brandon Saad
has been. He's exceptionally durable.
And Anisimov, if he stays healthy, is going to be very good for the Blackhawks, you think. The trick is keeping him on the ice. Dano, on the other hand, is the guy who probably this was centered around, Marco Dano. He's young. He's got a lot of potential. The ceiling is high, as they say. And he's the guy that I think was the key to this deal, as you start to hear more about it. The other guys are basically throw-ins. You don't know what Jeremy Morin is going to be.
Trop or trope.
Yeah. And you didn't make those deals because of those guys. They're just sort of throw-ins. But the Hawks are doing what they can, and they sign, you know, they sign Tikhonov. They have the other Russian,
Artemi Panarin.
Panarin, who's coming in to play a role. But we don't know what they're going to be. You really don't know what they're going to be until they get into the system. They acclimate themselves into the NHL. Not only the NHL, but Joel Quenneville's system, which, as we have seen, can be hard to navigate for some guys.
Let's grab Debbie in Kenosha. She's been hanging in. She had a Hawks question.
Okay.
Debbie, what's going on there, Buttercup?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Debbie.
Cap, you look good in pink.
Thank you very much. Trying to get David
like
to go from these
pink.
To get to some pinks. He's always gray. You know, these
gray,
muted
blue,
colors.
Yeah. Very boring. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Hey,
see ya.
Anytime.
What's up?
Do you guys think they'll do anything and add more defensive guys to the Hawks?
I think they'd probably like to, but I'm not sure.
Barrett Jackman went to Nashville.
Yeah, Barrett Jackman's with the Predators now. I don't know who else is on the market, but I think it's going to be expensive if they want to add a veteran.
We got him, Debbie, we got to roll because Jammer's on the phone, okay?
Maybe he can play.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, maybe Jammer can come back and play. We need some grittiness, some toughness. Jamal Mayers, Comcast Sportsnet, joins us now, former Hawk Stanley Cup champ. Jammer, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well. So the Hawks stun everybody, and they trade away Brandon Saad. They get some good players back from Columbus. What's your take on this whole thing, how it shook out?
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, the unfortunate – I mean, the great thing was the Hawks won the Stanley Cup. What it made it difficult negotiating-wise was that Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks were up against it as far as a time frame to get things done by July 1st. It really didn't leave much time to get things done and was put them, you know, in a tough position. And I think at the end of the day, when they realized that they weren't on the same page as far as what, you know, Sauter's camp wanted and what the Hawks had available, they made a quick decision and got, you know, I think great return for a guy, obviously, that was a huge part of their team and has a lot of upside and is such a young player, it's tough to lose.
You know, Jamal, I think the relationship between an agent and a professional athlete is always, I think, different depending on the two men involved. But when you look at how Brandon Saad's agent was empowered to, you know, to basically act on his behalf, you hear after the fact maybe Brandon Saad saying things, he was shocked, he was surprised, you know, he let his agent do the talking. Do you think that this is a case where the player wasn't necessarily represented, you know, by the agent in a way that was for it served his best interest long term, or do you think that this was absolutely the right thing for Brandon Saad in regard to his future?
Well, I'll be honest with you, it's unfair for me to necessarily comment. I don't have the intimate details of what went on, but you know, I know the agent that he uses, and I can guarantee that he was certainly held, you know, abreast of all the negotiations through the entire process. And I'm sure all scenarios were laid out to Brennan. And, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, we can all speculate about what happened and, as far as the negotiations. But, you know, unfortunately, we live in a cap world, and the Hawks have to make some tough decisions. And, you know, you have to look at the positive. You know, they've got, you know, Anisimov is a great second-line center. They've been searching for that for years, and he's still got a lot of hockey left in him. I believe he's only 27. So, you know, I think they made best out of a tough situation.
Jamal, if you were a guy who was 22 years old, looked like he had superstardom written all over him, and the team you were playing on had just won two cups with you, and they were loaded, and they can win again, and they said, we need you to take a two-year bridge deal. We'll take care of you, hopefully, in 2 years. Or you could go play somewhere else, which is like a hockey wasteland. Might have a good team, but it's Columbus, Ohio versus Chicago. Would Jamal Mayers take the bridge deal trying to win again, or would you go, no, man, I play the game. It's a living. I got to get paid. I'd take the money and go to Columbus.
Well, you might not like my answer, but how can you argue? I mean, he's won two cups, you know, still young in his career. I think that, you know, the fact that he didn't get a bridge deal done, and maybe his agent was giving him information that he didn't have to get one, and, you know, that may prove to be the case. So you can't fault a guy. He could make upwards of, you know, sign a deal for $30 million and, at the end of the day, he gets to take care of his family for a few generations, and I can't argue with that.
So when you look at this Hawks team, how hard is it to project how good they might be with the new pieces and not knowing how they will fit into, you know, Joel Quenneville's system and a lot of other things? Maybe with they signed Tikhonov, they have Panarin coming in from the KHL, and obviously Anisimov and Dano coming over from the Blue Jackets. Does that make it difficult to project how good this team will be?
It really does, particularly when you talk about those guys like Tikhonov and the other youngster from the KHL. I think that obviously they're very excited about what they can do, and time will tell where they'll fit in the lineup and how they'll fit in. So I think anytime you have the nucleus that the Hawks have, they still, I believe, are going to make a few other changes. I think that the likelihood of Johnny Oduya not coming back certainly is a huge loss, considering how great their top four played and how well they meshed together. And that comes opportunity for other guys to step up. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But they've done a masterful job of keeping the nucleus together, making tweaks here and there, developing their players accordingly, and putting guys in a position to succeed. So I expect them to promote a few guys that have been in the minors for a few years as well, and continue that cycle. And they've got a machine and a system that works, and the fans should not fret. They'll find a way with the nucleus they have to compete every year.
Jammer, appreciate the time. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing shakes out, but you got to think a veteran D-man is still in the works, and I got to think they're going to move another $10 million off this book. So it's going to be a lot of change, but it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
All the best. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Jamal.
Have a great holiday, guys.
You too. We'll see you. There he is, Jamal Mayers, former Blackhawk Stanley Cup champ, and doing great work on TSN in Canada and Comcast Sports Net.
Yeah, he'd have taken the money. And obviously, I think it would be the prevailing sentiment among most players.
And again, I am not being critical of Brandon Saad for taking the money.
Oh, you were yesterday.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think you saw them fraud Brandon. You were trying to come up with a nickname, some that rhymed with
I was critical
Saad.
And still am that he came out and said, it's not about the money for me. I just want to be here to win championships. We'll get something done. No, it wasn't accurate.
I get the sense that he was a bit naive here. I get the sense that even though people want to say that, well, the agent represents the player and they are serving his best interest, I don't get the sense that he...
I don't think he drove the bus on
was
this
as familiar...
With the process.
With the process or what his agent was leading him toward.
Agreed. But those paychecks will start coming in. He'll be just fine. In honor of the 4th of July, MyPillow is conducting a Made in America sale for the Cap'n Hall audience. 2-for-1 MyPillows. All week long, MyPillow guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. In fact, David, I just got a tweet from one of our fine listeners.
Mm-hmm.
His name is, hold on a minute, Tim Henry. Cap'n Hall just bought MyPillows. Thank you for the advice. Say hi to the family. Love them. And he sent his order form in, and he got the discount. 2-for-1 MyPillows.
That is getting results.
Guarantees to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. First night you sleep on a MyPillow, you understand why they've sold over 5 million. 4 support levels. And they conform to your preferred shape, even have a built-in cooling effect, keeping your head cool throughout the night. Perfect for summer sleeping. MyPillow has a 10-year will-not-go-flat warranty. They didn't let you sleep on it for 60 nights. And if it's not the very best you've ever owned, they'll send it back to them. They'll refund 100% of the purchase price. You'll love these pillows. And right now, 2-for-1 MyPillows. Use promo code KAP, CAP, at MyPillow.com or 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Promo code's KAP. 2-for-1 this week only. 312-235-2525. We'll take time out. Jack in Quad Cities has a Cubs comment and more. We'll be right back.
It's Cap'n Haw.
It was a business decision by the Blackhawks. It was a business decision as far as the negotiation or lack thereof with Brandon Saad and his camp. It came up where, well, maybe Saad should take a discount because, why should he take a haircut in the short term? Like, at the end of the day, yeah, he could have taken a bridge contract and maybe gotten 3.5 out of the Hawks. I don't know. But then there's no guarantee. I mean, what happens if he has a bad year and that, you know, so... It's all business, and I think on both sides got what they wanted. Saad's going to get paid, and the Blackhawks got warm bodies. I think they're as good as a team now as they were yesterday.
That's the great U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, our friend. We love him. He is Eddie Olczyk yesterday on this very program.
Quite a statement.
Yep.
They're as good as they were yesterday. The day before they traded Brandon Saad.
312-235-2525 is our phone number. Again, today, International Signing Day in Major League Baseball. We'll get to some of that. The Sox have a signing in. Cubs have a bunch of signing ins. What are you laughing at?
They're the only one that would like getting excited about this. It's a significant sign of that the
commitment.
Cubs are going to spend what they need to spend.
Right.
But I don't know that I would get terribly excited about guys who are teenagers right now. Right now. Let's let them develop.
I guarantee you.
Marinate.
Finn for right now is just like fully. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, interesting. So I think, see what I said there? My fallback. I'm sorry. Interesting.
Interesting.
Interesting development with the
Hey, Finfer, we've got this gorgeous woman here who says she wants to meet you. Nah, it's International Signing Day. I'm sorry. I've got to pay attention to these signings. Cubs are writing on a 16-year-old.
All right, let's take a couple calls.
All right, let's go to John in Chicago. Johnny, what's going on
morning,
there?
John.
Are you a movie star?
How you doing, John? John?
Yeah.
That's you, buddy.
Hey, John.
Okay, Cap.
Yeah.
Number one, I agree with you. Regarding Saad, he's taking the money and running.
Yeah, Saad taking the money.
You bet. Nobody's mentioned endorsements. How much money is he going to get for endorsements? The only major team in Columbus, baseball and football, are on Cleveland and Cincinnati.
Right. There's not a lot of endorsement money there, and if they have it, it's going to Urban Meyer in the Ohio State football program.
You don't think the team, if they get better, they're going to get more money for endorsements?
Well, there's just not it's not a huge market, John, where you can get the money for endorsements. Here, you know, Chevrolet has Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves. We got how many, 7 million people in our area? Columbus, they don't have a tenth of that.
What else you got, John?
Nice environment to bring up a family compared to Chicago.
Maybe so. Everyone keeps talking about Brandon Saad's family. He's 22 and single.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John. I appreciate the phone call.
Have a good day, Johnny.
He's 22 and single. It's not like he's taking the wife, the 2.5 children, the minivan, and the pool in his backyard and trying to relocate in Columbus. Stop talking about Brandon Saad's family. Okay? This was a money grab.
Right.
Let's just call it what it is.
It was a money grab.
It's
totally a money grab.
It's okay that it was.
Right. He's
it's
got
America.
A couple rings.
God bless you.
I've already hoisted the cup twice. I'm getting my money.
Whatever.
God bless him.
The agent drove him down, drove the money train down the green, you know, green paved pathway to Columbus. Enjoy it. Whatever. Stop talking about his family. He's 22 and single.
Johnny, love you, buddy. Thanks for being such a loyal
Thank
listener.
Thank you, John. Thank
You're
you
good
for
man.
Listening in the facts.
Hey, staying on the hockey side of things for a second.
Yeah.
So, Ben Bishop, has this guy gotten out of intensive care yet? I just wanted to check in
just
with you.
Just stop it with that, too. Come on. You're driving me to vacation.
He must be in intensive
you
care.
You're driving me
that
out of here.
That groin must be still bleeding.
You're going to determine to send me
wait a minute.
Out kicking and screaming.
I can go to the Rays game and take BP? I feel pretty good. Boom, home run. Boom, home run.
Okay.
You media guys, okay. My groin was not as bad as you thought it was.
What's John Cooper up to these days?
Exactly. He's having dinner with Vince Vaughn.
Has he paid for a meal yet?
Probably not. Although he lost, so maybe he is double.
Maybe so.
312-235-2525. Jack is in the Quad Cities. What's going on, Jack in the Box?
Hey, Jack.
How you doing, boys?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
You got a great show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Before I get to the Cub thing, hey, I'm going to see the world's greatest band at the Indianapolis 500 Speedway Saturday.
Springsteen's
Who?
There?
And who?
The Rolling Stones.
Okay. Oh, I'll go with you there. That's
yeah,
a good
that's
one.
A good one.
Your boy Rascal Flatts is opening up for him, huh?
Are they really?
Yeah.
See, Brad that's Casey the kind of respect.
Opened up for him in Nashville.
That's great. That's a great. That's a great show.
But I kind of compare you guys to Mick and Keith. You guys are like oil and water, just like they are, but that's what makes them great.
I'll tell you what, we don't have that much fun, though.
But you guys, I mean, to that degree, it's like that a lot. That's what makes it great, that tension, and that's why they've been so great. They go off and on. And then I go to the Cup game Sunday, so it's going to be a great weekend. Hey, I just wanted to know, I know the Cubs need a starter too, Cap, you know, obviously, but I think they need another bat, and I'm going to hang up and listen, but I got a guy that's he's going to be a free agent after this year, and I know he's going to be available, but I don't know what they have to give up. What do you think of Justin Upton? You guys take care.
Thanks, Jack.
Justin Upton's a very good player.
Makes a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Now, that would be one of those things where what are you going to give up and are you willing to pay?
How about Carlos Gonzalez? Would you like to see that bat in the outfield?
What do you have to give up? That's always going to be the answer to whatever the player is in return. Because, okay, you always ask us about the Bulls. Mm-hmm. You always ask us about the Bulls. So, if the Cubs don't make a move as they're currently constituted, is this a team that is good enough to make the playoffs this year? If you don't go out and get that bat, if you're not able to land that third or fourth starter, if all the deals that come your way are built around the idea that you have to give up somebody like a Kyle Schwarber or even, you know, somebody's, you're not giving up Addison Russell. But if they are unrealistic demands, are you willing to sit there and say, no, 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 we're fine? And if you continue to do that.
No, you got to do something.
Okay.
You got to do something. Cargo, by the way, makes big glue. Cargo is making, I want to say like $17 million, $16 million, only hitting .245, 10 homers, 28 knocked in, and an OBP of just .306.
Yeah, I don't know.
That does not sound like a Cub guy.
I don't know about Cargo. I'm not sure I'm feeling that. Upton maybe a little more persuaded to agree with that idea. I like that idea. But I don't know what you're giving up. And it's easy. You know, we had this discussion the other day, and then I got a text after the show or an email after the show saying, you guys are forgetting and neglecting. You guys should know better. Coughlin and DeNorfia are hitting. They're actually having pretty good years. And why are you ignoring that? And why are we ignoring that, Cap? DeNorfia and Coughlin are guys
Coughlin made two phenomenal defensive plays last
Coughlin
night.
Coughlin has been very good under the radar. And we don't ever talk about that.
We don't.
We always talk about the guys who's on the rise and the guys who aren't.
We should get Coughlin and DeNorfia on.
To introduce them to Chicago.
Pretty much. Coughs is a great guy. Holly and I were doing pregame on the field. He walked right up in the middle of the pregame, stuck his head between us, goes, what's up, boys? And then kept going. He's just a fun-loving, good dude.
He's having a decent year in his limited opportunities. I mean, they haven't been that limited. DeNorfia has been hurt, but when he's come back, Cap, he has been productive. So we sit here and we talk about names attached to guys who are maybe on the block, and I get that and understand that. That's baseball. That's sports. But Coughlin and DeNorfia have not been bad. Unless, I mean, they're not going to be guys that have the track record that a lot of other guys have, but we shouldn't just dismiss that.
Okay, Justin Upton.
Yeah.
His contract, he's got 14 bombs. He's knocked in a bunch. He's a right-handed hitter. He's 27 years old. Justin Upton is an unrestricted free agent after this year.
Mm-hmm.
He is making $14.5 million this year.
So you'd be on the hook for about seven.
His no-trade list includes four teams. He could block trades to four teams. Cleveland Indians, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Chicago Cubs.
No kidding?
Yes, what it says here.
The Cubs are on his no-trade?
Contract notes, 2014-15 no-trade list. Cubs, Indians, Brewers, Blue Jays.
That's interesting.
But I'll bet you could get him the wave that day.
Why? He had to have a reason.
Because they were awful?
Perhaps. I don't know. But you see, again, you just made my point. Thank you very much. I'm talking about Coughs and DeNorfia, and you bring up Justin Upton and his no-trade clause. You don't want to go into any depth about Coughlin or DeNorfia because you don't know that much of enough about him to trust them.
We need to get
these guys on the show.
I'm going to book them tomorrow when I'm there.
Well, I mean, not at the same time, though.
No.
want to give each one their due.
Yeah. I'm going to book both of them, though, for the week that I'm back and you're back from vacation.
Okay, because Coughlin has got some... He's got a little bit of pedigree.
He does. He was rookie of the year.
Yeah. So he's no slouch. I just don't know that he looks like a guy that people trust to be that bat that you know, is going to carry you through a tough stretch in August. Maybe he is.
All right. We got to grab a quick timeout. As I was promoting earlier in the show, our fine sponsor, Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, Cap'n Haw, is proud to have them as our sponsor. They're Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That is the triple crown of lawyering. Horwitz, Horwitz, and Associates. These guys win. You need attorneys? You got a PI case, personal injury? That's who you're calling. These guys will be in there fighting for you. They'll take the gloves off and get it done. Quick timeout, 312-235-2525. The absolutely amazingly talented and very charismatic Vincent Goodwill, wow, CSNChicago.com. Yep. Bulls insider, CSN Chicago. He was in studio on Sports Talk Live last night. He will join us next.
This is the Cap'n Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Do I feel like I won the bet? I think it's a tie. I think we both won. I think this is a place for me. I love playing with the guys that we have. They continue to bring in great, high-character guys that fit the team role. And I love it here. I'm happy to be here.
James Buckets. Jimmy Buckets. Getting paid. Vincent Goodwill says it's $95 million. We'll talk to Vincent in 1 second. Cap'n Haw brought to you by Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history. Largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history. Largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. These guys win, and we thank them for their sponsorship. Vincent Goodwill, the outstanding Bulls insider for CSNChicago.com. You can take the man out of Detroit,
yes,
but you can't take the Detroit out of the man.
He's got the Detroit Tigers hat on again.
Detroit versus everybody.
Wait. Do the White Sox have a winning record right now?
No, they do not.
Okay.
Okay. The Tigers barely do.
That's true.
Barely.
That's true. But it's more of a representation.
Games over 500, I think.
But it's more of a representation of
the
city.
So you enjoy that mediocrity.
Team. I'll take that.
All right. That's good.
I'll take that. And you guys have won a World Series this lifetime. So I'll give the White Sox that.
You know what they say. When you grow up in Detroit, you grow up and you aspire to move to Chicago.
Wow. I thought it was – that's a good one. I thought when you grow up in Detroit, you grow up beating Chicago. That's the way I grew up. We beat Chicago every year, right?
Not really.
We beat the Bulls. We beat the Bears.
And the Tigers. Big, bad, mighty Tigers are 39
and 38. And then we went on to win 6 titles.
That's true. Hey, you only beat us for one of them.
Yeah, you guys didn't even stick around and shake hands. All right, so Jimmy Butler gets $95 million, as you reported. Yep. Surprised? Because there were some that thought he's going to take a short deal. He wants out of here. He wants to go be with Mark Wahlberg. And in the end, he's staying here long term.
Not surprised at all. It's easy to say, and I said it last night on Sports Talk Live, it's easy to say that before. If you look at all the guys that signed yesterday, not a lot of guys took short deals to say, you know what, I want to hit free agency in 2 years and get a bigger contract. They said, I got $100 million in my face right now, and I'm going to take it.
I'm going to take it.
You would be a fool not to take the bird in the hand.
So you could get 130 later? Come on.
So why was there any suspense? Because once the Bulls committed to this path, it really would have been foolish for him to consider any other.
There's always going to be suspense when you have all these little issues of, is Tibbs playing him too much? Does he and Derrick Rose get along? You know, people put these feelers out all the time to make, you know, the Lakers feel like that they can, you know, sort of jump in and all these other teams. And additionally, it makes the Bulls, it puts them on notice that you can't get Jimmy Butler for cheap. You know, and not saying that in the Bulls knew from the jump that once Jimmy Butler had his hot start and really established himself as a max player, that they were going to have to go down this route. But you still want to reiterate that to them, that you're going to have to get me for the money that Kawhi Leonard's getting, the money that, you know, Paul George got a couple years ago. I'm in that caliber of player, so don't pay me any less.
So does this make Jimmy Butler the the last bull standing when, you know, you look ahead, because Joakim Noah, you really can't project anything past next year.
Right.
Derrick Rose has, what, 2 years left on his contract? And really, I don't know that you can project much about him moving forward. Jimmy Butler has a 5-year contract now that makes him, you know, it's elite money. He's recognized as an all-star shooting guard. He's paid like one. And now he's got a contract that secures his future more than any other member of this roster. So he does look like he's going to be the last bull standing.
That's a great question. I think when you look forward and you try to project, you know, what Derrick Rose, not basically what you're asking is, will Derrick Rose be here in 2 years? That's basically what it revolves around. No disrespect to Noah or anybody else who sort of crafted this Bulls culture, but you're basically asking, will Derrick Rose be around in 2 years after his contract is up? And the answer is nobody knows. You don't know what type of player he's going to be. You don't know how his relationship with the front office and with new coach Fred Hoiberg will evolve in the next 2 years. And I know it's easy for people to say, oh, when Derrick is, when that contract is up, Derrick is just going to walk away. It's way too early to predict that, because I thought Derrick played well in the playoffs last year. What if he picks that as a starting off point? And if he's not the Derrick Rose of 2011, he's that kind of Derrick Rose,
mm-hmm.
who can still play at an all-star level. Do you just want to let an all-star point guard go despite his injury history, or do you try to find a way to work with what you have?
Well, I don't think anybody knows that answer, you know, really. It's a hard one to answer moving forward.
I asked you this last night. Do you believe, as presently constructed, and given whatever backup point guard you want, Rajon Rondo, Rodney Stuckey, Jeremy Lin, whoever, as presently constructed, they can win the East without LeBron going down?
No. I mean, if you look at Cleveland, they re-upped with Kevin Love, with Tristan Thompson. They still have Mozgov. Varejao's coming back, and assumingly healthy.
It's like $230 million just on those guys.
Right, exactly. And then LeBron's going to sign a massive deal next year, so he's making sure that Dan Gilbert is signing every contract in blood.
Yeah.
But to the point, they have so many capable bigs. Then you have Kyrie. Then you have LeBron. I mean, the things that the Bulls pride themselves on traditionally, the toughness, having the best bigs up front and being able to rotate guys in and out, Cleveland has become that. And with Kyrie, they have Derrick Rose. And with LeBron James, And with LeBron James, you have the best player in basketball. Now, what logical world can you tell me that with this Bulls roster right now, I'm not saying if they do anything spectacular or something won't change, but with this roster right now, even if David Black comes back, what world can you tell me that the Bulls are better?
Is there any competitive doubt about David Black coming back?
There's always doubt.
Does he make the next year's playoffs?
That guy gets an unfair deal. Sorry.
Well, maybe not. But you don't really know what degree, how much does he coach this team, and what is his long term, what is his longevity?
No, I don't know what. Put it like this: LeBron goes into this icy isolation and throws out these, you know, very quiet and tacit signs of what he wants you to do, so he can have plausible deniability when it all goes away. But you can't say that relationship worked last year.
No.
And the thing is, every great player, no matter what you think about LeBron and his politics and everything else, Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson. Kobe Bryant had Phil Jackson. Tim Duncan had Popovich. Great players at this stage of their career have great coaches. This guy, we can't even figure out if he's a good coach or if he's an NBA caliber coach. He's a great coach with a great resume from overseas. But at this level, what has he proven? Because LeBron coached that team last year.
So the Cavs sign everybody. They bring everybody back. They look like the team to beat in the East and maybe the NBA favorite because of Kevin Love's health. And they start out slow. And they start out clunking around, and they start out barely above 500. And they fire David Blatt on December 20th. And they make a move on January 4th, and they hire who? Tom Thibodeau is going to be out there. And then all of a sudden, you've got Tom Thibodeau coaching the Cavs against the Bulls.
David Blatt will be coaching them to a championship next year. You guys are so hard on this guy, and the people I trust know basketball.
What were you watching during the playoffs?
Did you see the?
Yeah, he called the timeout. Guys make mistakes.
What is he? Do you know a friend of a friend or something?
No, I've asked guys who are coaching in the league, tell me about David Blatt, and they're like, that guy gets treated so unfairly. They said he's a brilliant basketball mind. Anybody other than Riley, Jackson, Popovich, if you stuck them with LeBron, they're going to be looked at as LeBron's assistant.
Okay, here's my thing to that. As a coach, you're supposed to command the respect from a roster. You don't come in and automatically get it because you have a title. You guys, I'm sure, have worked for bosses you were smarter than. The title didn't preclude the respect. The respect came because he showed you that he was competent at what he was doing. At every chance LeBron extended an olive branch to him, he sort of made it seem like, I've done this before. I've been here before. No, dude, you're new to these guys. You're new to this league. A little humble pie, it wouldn't kill you to understand that this is a player's league, and that's the ultimate player. Like, if there's one guy you don't pull the arrogant card on, it's LeBron James. You can do that with Kyrie Irving if LeBron isn't there. You could have done that with that Cavs roster if LeBron chose not to come back, and then you earn your stripes that way. But when you have the ultimate leverage in that locker room, if LeBron wanted him gone, he would have been gone. Maybe LeBron likes him to kick around. Maybe LeBron just doesn't see a really tangible Hall of Fame head coach out there now that he could replace David Blatt with, and he thinks Blatt can learn on the job. But I am not of the mindset that just because a guy takes a team to the finals that he's a good coach. And coaches protect coaches anyway. You know that. So if you're talking to coaches, they're not going to talk about anybody.
These are some of my best friends who would tell me off the record that are all telling me this guy gets unfairly treated by the media. Unfair treatment.
No. Do I think he gets unfairly treated by the media? Sometimes. But I think that comes from the aura that he presents to us. You know this. Like, the media treats people not necessarily based off of their merits of how they do their jobs, but almost based off of how they treat us. If a guy's a great quote but a terrible coach, the media will almost sort of say, you know what, maybe he deserves another chance.
Right. But if he's a jerk first time.
It's easy to dismiss, right?
Okay. If he wins the next four titles, yeah, they're still going to go, yeah, but remember when he called the timeout?
Maybe like not. Enough. All right, we'll continue the David Blatt debate.
How did I come here to talk about David Blatt?
So,
seriously.
When you look at the rest of the teams, whether it's in the Bulls division, Milwaukee was active. They signed Greg Monroe. The Bulls haven't done anything except for keep the gang together. Who has closed the gap on the Bulls?
Milwaukee has severely closed the gap on the Bulls. I liked their roster last year.
Pacers?
You would think by proxy of health. But they have the Roy Hibbert issue. David West isn't coming back. They might sign Monte Ellis, but then they might lose Rodney Stuckey. So I'm not sure exactly where they fit. I think they're sort of in that middling spot. I don't think you necessarily have to worry about them. Detroit struck out. They didn't get meetings with Danny Green. They didn't get a meeting with Damari Carroll, and they wanted those guys bad. You had people around the league saying that they were going to get one of those guys, and they didn't even get a chance to sit down with them. So Milwaukee, to me, would be the team. Not even Atlanta. Atlanta, I think, took a step back. I'm not sure what they're doing over there. But Milwaukee would be the team I would worry about.
All right, more with Vincent. And we want to talk about the fraud that is Phil Jackson. This guy's awful. Absolutely awful. We'll get to that. Wintrust loves a good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs, Sox, North Side, South Side, Blue versus Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, you can cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with the hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs or White Sox charities. Follow along online. See whose fans are cheering the loudest. Learn more. Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks are used with permission. Member FDIC. Vincent Goodwill, our buddy from CSN Chicago, is in the studio. We're talking NBA. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
I'm not going to kiss and tell, but, you know, just had some very flattering offers and, At the end of the day, the most flattering moment was the Bulls. To be able to come back there to an organization that I've got to know the last couple of years, my teammates, and you know, the new coaching staff, which I'm looking forward to playing for. It was just too good of an opportunity to continue with, and be able to come to terms, and I'm just thrilled about it.
That's Michael Dunleavy on Sports Talk Live with me yesterday. Mike Dunleavy, who got 3 years and $14.4 million to stay in Chicago, despite being personally wooed by the king himself, LeBron James. Kevin Hawk continues, WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet. The great Vincent Goodwill, our friend from CSNChicago.com, their Bulls insider. And you catch him on TV all the time. How are you liking the gig?
It's cool. It's fun, man.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. Get the you Bill have, TV with guys like you all the time.
You have taken to this town and this job like a duck takes to water. People love you here.
You tell that to my Twitter. You should have seen my Twitter during game six of the conference semifinals. Chicago was mad at me when I said that the Bulls don't look like they're trying right now.
And they weren't.
Well, sometimes the truth hurts.
You surprised called it before the game.
Are you surprised Mike Dunleavy is back?
No, not at all.
At that money?
Well, the thing is, the greatest leverage is having LeBron James telling people that he wants you. So once again, the same way for Jimmy Butler, you don't want to run Mike Dunleavy off and say to the and put a doubt in his mind that you aren't willing to commit to him. And I think the fact that the salary cap went up another million or two above projections gave them just enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you talk about wanting to get Rodney Stuckey or getting the backup point guard and having enough money for that, but you also have to take care of the guys that you have. And Dunleavy's a good guy in the locker room. He's a veteran. He's someone who's sort of going to try to keep things steady when they're a little bit rocky. I think he provides a good veteran presence. Add to the fact, I do think it. I won't say it's an indictment on Doug McDermott, but is it? Does it show that they aren't necessarily sold that he's ready to be a starting small forward in the next year or so?
I think that's definitely what it says. I think it says that you don't know what you don't know about Doug McDermott outweighs what you do know. And that's why you have to lock up a veteran you can trust. A year ago at this time, you weren't here, but we were in the midst of Carmelo mania, and it was the signage on the United Center. They were wooing him. The debate was whether or not Derrick Rose said enough at dinner and how much did the free agent pitch go. And the Bulls were definitely all in. They're active. They recovered by getting Pau Gasol. This summer's so different. It's such a different feel around town in regard to the Bulls. They have gone to great lengths now in retaining their own guys and being quiet and reinforcing their confidence in this roster. They've gone to great lengths to tell everybody this statement that the problem with the Bulls was coaching. Wasn't the roster. The reason they were stopped where they were stopped last season was coaching. Because the most significant change that they've made this offseason
is their coach.
Is their coach. Really the only change.
Well, when you're the front office and you take such a hard line stance as they have over the past couple of years, where clearly there was a line drawn in the sand between the front office and the coach, you know, I won't say egos get in the way. I won't even say agendas get in the way, but I will say the narrative is that this team was good enough and that Tom Thibodeau held them back for whatever reason. And they want a chance to show people that that's true. And with that being said, I mean, I don't know how much upgrading of the roster they could do. They're sort of hamstrung by the fact that they're right up against the luxury tax. They don't have a lot of flexibility anyway. And I don't think even if they dangled a Joakim Noah or Taj Gibson out there, I don't know what type of value you would get for them anyway. So they sort of picked the corner, but they were backed into this sort of corner where they have to fight themselves out of. And yet the tenor is completely different. With, you know, Jimmy Butler re-signing, had they re-signed Jimmy Butler before the season began, you would have a lot more money to play with. But that nobody could have predicted, I guess, the season that Jimmy Butler had.
Yeah, but see, I keep hearing that from people, and we've had this debate. $44 million's on the table. He says, I'm not going to sign for less than 48. I want 48. If you think he's good enough to give him 44, then write the damn check for 48 because the downside is you're going to pay him double. And that's what happened. That was just bad, bad decision.
You know what? And it's funny because I wasn't here, but when I saw it, my thought was that's $1 million a year. Like, you don't risk. not necessarily insulting a guy, because you can't insult a guy by offering him $11 million a year, but don't risk sort of creating this
adversarial situation.
Adversarial relationship. And for whatever reason, Chicago front offices and coaches, since I've been alive, have had, with the Bulls, have had adversarial relationships, whether it was Doug Collins in the front office, Phil Jackson in the front office, Tom Thibodeau in the front office, and there have been some good teams surrounding it, but it's always been sort of this tug of war, and it happens in sports all around, and it's not special to Chicago, but I will say it's sort of shocking that it's always here.
Let me say two things. Number one, if there's any sort of adversarial feeling on behalf of a player that's getting $19 million a year from his employer, I think the guy's looking for problems. Okay, there's no way.
Well,
you
not
can
now, but back
okay,
then.
Back then. Well, I don't know that matters. I think what you did also, you're forgetting, and maybe this is, I know it's a valid point. Okay, $4 million. What's $1 million a year? What role did the Bulls daring Jimmy Butler to go out and to prove himself,
motivate him to play the way he did
in his development? Because I don't know that Jimmy Butler is the player he is today if he doesn't play the entire season ticked off that the Bulls didn't believe in him. And the only person that believed in him was him and maybe his teammates and his coach. He had a point to prove every single night he took the court.
You know what? That's the great question that nobody knows the answer to. The one thing I will say is the timing of it. You know, the fact that it happened in October, he had already put that preparation into the season. So I don't know how much that extra motivation really would have played. I'm not sure if he would have been an all-star. I think he would have made a market jump from last year. I mean, he played the same amount of minutes last year, but he just scored more. He rebounded more. He became a more impactful player. That doesn't happen in October when the team tells you that they don't want to give you the extra $1 million. That happens over the summer when you put the work in and you say, you know what? I'm not sure if Derrick Rose is going to be here. You know, Joakim Noah, you know, he sort of carried this team last year. I want to be that guy this year. You put that work in from the months of May to October, you know, in hot, sweaty gyms when nobody's paying attention. That's what turned Jimmy Butler into the player that he is today. Not the perceived disrespect from management. I think we sort of make too much about that, you know, that the work that guys put in. I think Jimmy Butler, at his heart of hearts, is a worker. Community college guy, Marquette guy who wasn't recruited, last pick of the first round of the draft. That's motivation in itself before you even get to a contract dispute with management.
But knowing that he was going into that sort of scenario, though, that
it adds a little something extra, I will agree.
Because he was entering a season where, you know, and I said it many times in this show last summer, he was a shooting guard who couldn't shoot. And that was something he cured, something he fixed with hard work. And every time that he took the court, you know, after things broke apart in October, I don't know. I think that he was a guy that is self-motivated for a lot of different reasons. But I think you saw the results of that. Now it's going to be fascinating to follow. Okay, Jimmy, there are no more excuses. You are, you know, you wanted this. Here it is. You know, you've got to hit that big shot when you take it. You've got to, you know, you got to be that guy. If you want to be that guy, a lot comes with that responsibility.
So let me flip this on you. So you're more concerned about the type of player that he'll be this year, not at the
I wonder. I do wonder. People change when they get money. People change when they get paid. Jimmy Butler has changed since he came to Chicago. What's next? I don't know. I really don't. So if Jimmy Butler continues on this path where he's going to prove something to somebody every single year, all's well. No problem. Money well spent. If he's a guy that says, you know what, I'm number one now.
And I got my money.
I'm a star. I'm loving this lifestyle because I got my Hollywood friends. I work in the gritty Chicago. I'm a $19 million a year player. I'm a max guy. What does that mean? You can't lose the edge just because you got paid.
But I will also say that you can't forget who you are either. Even if he wanted to go Hollywood, he's got a much larger sample size of where he came from and what he didn't have, the environment that he grew up in. So even if you try to run away from that, that catches up to you. You get a reminder of that at some point. I wouldn't say it humbles you. It's more so of a reality check. And I've heard people say, well, Jimmy Butler's defense slipped a little bit this year relative to last year. I wasn't here last year. I only saw Jimmy Butler a handful of times, so I can't speak to it. But I will say that, as opposed to the money being validation in a negative way, he can also use that to counter your point and say, you know what, whether people believe I'm worth this or not, I'm going to take this and show people I'm worth this.
Right.
And the fact that people have doubts about whether this Bulls team can actually do it, who has the biggest jump to make in their games of this Bulls team? If you're talking about internal improvement from year to year, who can make, although Jimmy Butler improved and won the award to show for it, who on his roster has the biggest jump to make? It's still Jimmy Butler, right?
McDermott's pretty big.
But and he's a huge key.
He's huge in terms of being a role player, but I'm talking about from being,
if they're going to be a championship team, Jimmy Butler has to take that
next
step.
That's the conversation that we're having.
Derek has to get back to being Derek.
Derek's already taken that step. He's not been able to maintain it because of injury. Jimmy Butler, I think what Vince is saying is a good point, is not an elite MVP type player for an entire season, and that's what you have to expect.
Or has he peaked?
Well, that's the question. Has Jimmy Butler peaked? Did he peak in January?
Do you peak at 24, 25?
I don't know.
Years
you better
old?
Not.
I don't know if Jimmy Butler truly is ever going to be a top 15 player.
Is he
going to
be better than he was last year? That's the
question.
That's the
thing. And he doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be a top 10 guy.
He's got to be better than he was. He's got to be what he was the first half of last year.
Right. When he was carrying the team and Derek was going through the hamstring issues and everything else, and you're looking up, and I was still in Detroit first half of the year, and I'm looking up, man, Jimmy Butler, 35-6 tonight? And you're looking like, man, this guy's really every single night. Guys in the locker room were saying, Jimmy's out here playing. When you get other players talking about you and saying Jimmy goes after it, that's when you know a guy's valid. I don't think he has to be that guy. I think where he is now is probably about 80 to 85% of what he's going to be when he, quote unquote, maxes out at his potential.
All right. The Knicks had $28 million in salary cap. They're paying $60 million to Phil Jackson over 5 years because he's the czar. He's going to bring all these great players. So Wesley Matthews, not going to meet with you. Danny Green, not interested. They get Aaron Aflalo, big flipping deal for 2 years at 16. But Greg Monroe, he said, was the center we need in the triangle. He goes to the Bucks. They're losing on everybody.
Here's
Robin Lopez. They're going to get Robin Lopez.
Here's what happens. And you guys are NFL guys. Every time the NFL wants a new stadium, what do? They dangle L.A. out there. You don't give us this stadium, we're moving you to L.A. What the players do is, if I'm half worth my salt, I go and dangle some stuff out there to New York. New York's going to give X guy a maximum contract, right? So then basically you have the Knicks in your back pocket, but you're trying to get the same money from another franchise.
Where you can win.
Where you can win and you don't have to deal with the New York media, the New York pressure, and everything else. Get the same money but do it somewhere else. So basically, they're just using New York as basically untold leverage. And Phil Jackson, who I think is like running the most amazing con job of all freaking time. No, not from that, because he's a champion. You win championships 11 times over.
I'm talking about the scam he's pulling now.
They're saying Isaiah pulled it over on James Dolan. Phil Jackson is running a master show. This guy comes out and says, Cap, I don't like guys who want to just be here for the money. I don't want guys who want to be here and brand themselves. Phil Jackson, you took $60 million to be an executive. You don't have the right to tell a player that he can't go get his money. And after he won his 9th title or 10th title with L.A., he walked around with a big cap that said X on it for 10 rings.
But now he doesn't want players to brand themselves.
But now you don't want and you benefited from the biggest bleeping brand in all of sports named Michael Jordan. Get out of here. This dude is a clown.
Unbelievable.
That is true.
Thank you for coming in.
Yep.
Hey,
thanks,
I appreciate it.
We love having you in.
Good luck with the Tigers.
Yeah, good luck to them. Pirates take them down today.
Detroit.
See you later. That's our guy, Vincent Goodwill, CSNChicago.com and CSNChicago. And you can follow him on Twitter as well. Read his stuff. He is outstanding. Take a time out. We'll be right back.